Hi, Kate.
Hey, Jean.
We're starting. Yay.
Oh, so exciting. Second course. And this one's for all the engineering managers out there, because I tell you, it's always been a hard job, but it's even harder right now.
Yeah, I feel like engineering management has always been a difficult job, but now in the post-ZIRP era, the expectations are really different from what they were a few years ago.
Yeah, everybody's a TLM now, right?
Right, which is known to be one of the most challenging jobs. Like you're transitioning into management, they're like, hey, why don't you keep doing this other job you were doing as well?
Yeah, this is literally called out in the manager's path, and everybody struggles with this job. You just need to get through it. But now, like air quotes, getting through it is just a lot longer. And I think there's people who, were free of that. They'd made it to the manager role, but now it's harder than ever for engineering managers to show their value. And I think that's part of what is leading to this EM should code stuff. Basically, the pressure's piling on. One, on the job, two, on your team, and three, on your boss. And so I think it's very easy for people to just get really squished in the middle of that. And so this is the goal of this course, is to help you have your own point of view on what good looks like and to help you unsquish yourself a bit.
And yeah, I think also in the hypergrowth ZIRP era, like main metric people were using was just like, what's your org size? What's your org size, right? You manage five engineers and then suddenly your org has 15 engineers and then now you're managing a team with 40 engineers. But especially with the advances in AI and just a lot of companies are looking for teams to be much more lean and they want engineering managers who have that experience of being hands-on coding with their teams, and they don't want someone who's like been managing, 80 people to suddenly come manage a team of 10, and they don't have that confidence that that person's going to be able to also provide value in the way they want to see it now.
Yeah, I think there's two things going on there. One is the org size, like you said, was a status symbol, really. And now it's more of a liability. Like, if a team is that big, why is it that big, right? And the second thing is, I don't think we ever really got super clear on what EMs actually do. And so I think it's really kind of easy and also lazy thinking to be like, oh, to still have value, you should be writing code. And actually, what we're trying to do here is to give people a stronger point of view on what an EM is. The way that we're describing it is being a force multiplier.
Yeah, all of our modules really focus on this idea of how can you be a force multiplier for yourself, for your team, and then really expanding your leadership as well.
Exactly, because what it looks like to be a force multiplier is not a consistent thing. It's not like every day it's writing code. Sometimes it's really just helping somebody get unstuck, and sometimes it's coaching somebody, and sometimes it's being like, oh, we don't have a good enough roadmap, we need to make that clear. And sometimes it's managing up to, I don't know, just unblock any of the myriad problems that can impact an engineering team. And really, I think being a force multiplier is coming in every day with this mindset of, how do I make everybody around me better? And then figuring out, given the specific situations, what that means today.
And also the job is really the output of the team over time, right? So you can't just say, well, how do I make everyone around me better today? You have to think about the longer term strategy as well. And especially if you focus on just short term results, that can lead to burnout both for yourself and for your team.
Right, but I think this fear of air quotes burning the team out means sometimes that teams are allowed to linger in ineffectiveness for way too long. I always think engineers, they like to ship. And that there's really, if the team is not shipping, that's not a good situation. And there's no amount of managing up or treats or morale boosters that you can really use to fix a team that's not shipping, other than just getting them to a state where they can ship again.
So in this course, we're going to cover four modules that we've picked out to be what we think are the most important things for either a new EM or someone who's just adapting to these new expectations in this post-ZIRP era. Kate, you want to tell us a little bit about the modules?
Yeah, so the first one is about supporting yourself to support your team. So the kind of people that get into engineering management, they often are just really motivated to support their team. And so they end up supporting their team to their own detriment. And, you know, we love and respect that mindset of wanting to support the team, but we also want you to be able to continue supporting the team long term, which means supporting yourself, especially because realistically, the higher you move up the org chart, even if you're just like one level up and you're an EM now, there's a good chance you're getting less from your boss than you're giving to the people below you.
And so this module is really about, how do you manage your own energy? How do you make sure that what you're doing is sustainable? How do you make space for yourself in your life, in your work, so that you can do all the other parts of being an engineering manager?
And then the second module is really just one of the core competencies of any EM, which is feedback. And specifically, we're talking about feedback and we're talking about one-on-ones and how they go together. So it will help you give feedback. It will help you get feedback. And we're not going to give you a list of questions for your one-on-one. We're going to give you a structure and a flow that you can use to try and maximize the amount of time you spend coaching your high performers.
Yeah, and I'm sure you all have heard about different frameworks for feedback. We're kind of taking a step back and thinking about what is feedback and a bigger picture view of what feedback can give you and how to get it, even when people aren't coming up to you saying, could I give you some feedback?
Nobody's coming up to anybody.
Well, that's what they teach you in the workshops, Kate. So
that's true. But yeah, I think the point is, we're not going to be like, here is a SMART goal. No, wait. It's smart goals. Okay. We're not going to teach you how to do a shit sandwich. Right. Yeah. No, it's really about the impact. And I think, I don't know, I feel like often the framework is the easy bit, but the actually doing it consistently is the hard bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm also trying to make it less feedback with a capital F and more akin to the kind of feedback loop you have with your compiler, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just constant little bits of information that help you change course or just know how things are going.
Exactly.
And then module 3, we really talk about setting directions, setting a clear strategy for your team. So this is force multiplication at the team level, right? If everyone's busy and productive, but they're not really moving in the same direction, the output of the team is not going to be what you want it to be.
I think this module is really important because I've never seen this covered anywhere. It's like, how do you make a roadmap? But not so much, how do you figure out what the roadmap is?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that may be that there's not really eng-specific management training. And so a lot of companies kind of cover their bases by having like corporate manager training, but that's just covering the lowest common denominator.
I think how to make a roadmap is a thing that most devs learn through osmosis, but it's not just a technical roadmap you need to make. And, you know, it does require you sometimes to get more clarity. I think the other aspect of this module is, how do you go and live in the ambiguity and bring back clarity for your team?
Yeah, and it builds on the first two modules, right? You need to have that space. You need to be able to work sustainably, to have the space to do some strategic work, and you need to have feedback from your team and from people that you work with to know how things are going, to then feed into strategy and direction.
Exactly. And the final module is about range, but it's also about, how do you go from surviving to thriving?
Yeah, in module 4, we talk about different leadership styles. Typically, leaders have one or two that they default to that's the most comfortable for them. And that's fine to lean into your strengths, but there may be situations either that you're experiencing now or in future roles or companies where you really do need to draw on leadership styles that are a little bit outside of your comfort zone. So we talk about that.
Exactly. And we also talk a lot about failure modes, which are often just overused strengths. So that podcast is us sharing all our fuck-ups, I think, honestly.
Yes, all of our, yeah, all the ways our low-functioning behaviors and, yep.
I think now's a good time to talk about, like, there's no judgment here. Like, this is a hard job, you know? I want to believe we're both good at it, but I think that that's hard-won expertise on both of us. And part of the goal for this course is, you know, so other people don't have to learn as much the hard way.
I think I've been fortunate to have some really good managers and very, like, supportive environments to learn. But I know that's not the case for everyone. That's a big reason why I know I went into coaching like almost 10 years ago. And Kate, maybe that's also part of why you went into coaching, just to provide that support across different companies. But yeah, we're excited to bring it all to this course.
I actually had a very good idea when I went into management and coaching, which is I'd never had a good manager as an IC. So I thought maybe I could make one and then I could go back to being an IC. But it turned out that just made me too valuable under capitalism to be an IC. So here we are.
I have often fantasized about being an IC, Kate.
Doesn't everybody? So nice to ship code all day. But this is the course for people who miss it and who want to, you know, who want to give their team maybe stuff that they've never had, right? And yeah. It doesn't mean that you don't sometimes miss being an IC, but I think there are ways to thrive as an EM and we want to help you find them.
Yeah. And a lot of this course, there's this theme of just being intentional, right? If you're taking this course, you're probably someone who wants to be more intentional about what being an EM looks like, you know, whether or not you're growing in the role. And so a lot of it is just having the space to be deliberate rather than reactive and having the space to think and be intentional.
And being deliberate about progressively thinking further out over time, rather than staying in an emergency loop of everything that's happening in the day to day.
Yeah. One thing to know, we are not going to tell you if you're doing a good job. I think that's something a lot of people in a new role want to know. Am I doing a good job, right? Like, am I a good EM? Instead, we're going to give you some frameworks to improve, to give you a sense of, okay, what is the job of an EM? You can do your own exercises. We can review your exercises, give you feedback, but we're not going to be able to say you're doing a good job or not.
I think everybody thinks their team is good. But I always think like, okay, fine, your team is good. It's much easier to measure progress than state. And so we're going to be focused on the diff. Like, how is your team improving? How are you improving? What's different than it was before? And then, you know, if you're on this curve, at some point on the curve, you have a good team. We're just not going to tell you when, because we don't know.
I think often when people are wondering, am I doing a good job? What they're actually wondering is, am I missing something, right? Is there some gap that I should be doing that I'm not doing? And so we do offer that, right? We do have a framework for like, this is what the job is. These are the things you should be thinking about, right? You should be thinking progressively further and further out. You should be supporting your team, supporting yourself, all those things.
Totally. And the other thing we want to note is that Jean and I are very lucky. We have a lot of privilege about how we manage our time. And our request is that if we mention doing something like a yoga class in the middle of the day, and that's not available to you, please don't hate us. Just replace yoga class with whatever is available to you, which maybe it's just a walk around the block, but there will be something available to you.
Yeah, it's all relative, right? If you're just back to back, even 5 minutes between meetings to go lay down next to your desk, like, I've been there.
That could be the difference. Right. Gina, I'm not sure everybody's lying down in their office.
The nap pod, yeah.
Yeah, the nap pod. You'll hear all about Gina and the nap pod. It's a very special place for her. But yeah, we called this the survival guide because in the post-Zerp era, are we all not just trying to survive in this stage of capitalism? But our goal isn't for you to just survive. We really want to see you thrive, which means getting out of survival mode. And kind of module 1 and 2 are really about getting your core processes working well. And then in module 3 and 4, it's about looking further out, which I think is a core part of being able to thrive. And this is why we structure the course to run over 8 weeks, because one, we want to make it introvert friendly. This is very core to us. But two, we want to give you time to try and iterate and integrate the ideas in the day-to-day.
Yeah, and the course is designed to be very async, but the expectation is that you get out of it what you put in, right? So if you're integrating the things you're learning in your day-to-day work with your team, then you're going to get a lot out of it.
This is the goal for the exercises, is to give you a structured way of thinking things through. Our feedback is in service of you, definitely not in judgment of you. And the more open you are, the more we can try and help you.
Yeah. So if the exercises are for you. Also, it is helpful if you let us know where you would like feedback on your exercises so that we can jump in and provide a little bit of coaching there.
Exactly. So with all that, do you have anything final to add, Jean?
No, I'm excited to get started.
I am so excited. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Bye, everyone.